At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Let's go!
This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Here we go on this Saturday, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker Campbell. It is a very big day in college football. We've got you covered over the next 2 hours. Joining us from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City is James Hale. He is at the Cotton Bowl, going to provide his perspective on the Red River rivalry. And also, he's back, national college football analyst from CBS Sports, Brian Jones. But right now, hanging out with me in studio is my wonderful producer. That is Sean Mapes. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Sean A. Mapes. And we got to talk some NFL. There are a lot of compelling matchups. And I'm thinking about Monday Night Football, the Raiders and the Chiefs here in Week 5. How do you see this game playing out?
I mean, the Chiefs are absolutely hitting on all cylinders, especially after last week against the Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. Now they face the 1-3 Raiders, who up to this point have just not looked like they've clicked. I mean, you'd think that with an offensive-minded head coach, you have the college teammates, Adams and Carr, reunited, that they would just hit the ground running in this AFC West that we thought was going to be so unbelievable. And now with the Broncos not looking so good after the loss Thursday night, with the Raiders, like I said, at 1-3, everyone on the Chargers is hurt. It looks like the Chiefs are just going to run away with this division, which is pretty crazy considering the hype that was headed into the season. And then Monday night, I don't see how the Raiders really can compete with the Chiefs so far. From what we've seen, the Raiders just do not look like they have any juice to them this year. And the Chiefs, again, just came off killing the Bucs. So I like the Chiefs on Monday night.
Well, the Raiders, as you said, Sean, they truly are the underdogs. And it was such an impressive offensive performance against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers when you talk about the Chiefs, how they completely dominated them in a shootout. Do you think Patrick Mahomes is underappreciated as a quarterback?
I do think that whenever he has a bad game as one of the great quarterbacks, it is a little bit of like, oh, has things finally caught up to Pat Mahomes, where it's like, no, the guys just have bad games every once in a while. Like Aaron Rodgers hasn't played particularly well in any of the four games this year. Maybe against the Bears, he looked all right. But for the most part, I think Mahomes does get a little bit extra. Whenever he fails, it's the spotlight's a little bit brighter on him. But he fails so infrequently that it doesn't really matter.
Well, all eyes will be on Patrick Mahomes as he looks to continue his winning ways against the Raiders in Monday Night Football. It's going to be fascinating to watch how this game plays out. Hey, stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network. We're going to talk some Red River rivalry. Coming up in Hour 1, James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker Campbell.
Okay, it is the biggest week of the regular season. Welcome back, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue to get you ready for the Red River rivalry that is currently underway in Dallas, a game that never disappoints, and we are ready to break it all down. Delighted to have back with us from CBS Sports. He is their national college football analyst. He is a former NFL linebacker, played college ball at UCLA, and also for his Longhorns. He's one of our favorites, and that's the great Brian Jones. Good afternoon, Brian.
Big E, how are you? I know that's hard for you to say, a former Longhorn, huh?
Hey, well, it's all good. We kind of amend the rules for you, Brian, because you are such a dynamic personality. You're truly one of our favorites. Now, listen, we got to stay on task here. Before we highlight today's big game, I just want to think back and have you reflect on your first Texas OU game and pulling into the parking lot and what was going through your mind.
Butterflies like you wouldn't believe. The anxiety, having watched that particular affair take place so many times as a kid on television, and then having an opportunity to drive up on that bus and into that fairgrounds, and just seeing all the fanfare that was going on. And then you have this big bowl, the Cotton Bowl, that emerges, and you get off the bus and you go get taped up and ready to go out, and you're trying to tell yourself it's just like any other game, but it's not. And then the cool thing back then was when you come out of that locker room to head down the sideline to start the game, and OU, the enemy comes out of their locker room, and you walk down side by side. And it's just amazing.
Wow.
There weren't full, full knockdown drag out with us walking down that tunnel together, but there were a few words that were exchanged and none that I could share on this family show. Let's just say that. But it was an amazing feeling. It's indescribable. I say to everything, same thing every year. It's indescribable when you get down there because you've got half that are booing you like you stole their money and the other half are cheering you as though you're the best thing since sliced bread.
He's back. Brian Jones, national college football analyst for CBS Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter at JonesN4MO. And it is interesting, you know, when you prepare for a big game, you're working hard all week and spending a lot of hours on the field. But mentally, how do you slow your mind down to prepare and keep your focus?
I've just been doing it for so long, such as you and your gig. And I have a regiment that I try my best to stick to, and it never stops. When I get on that plane tomorrow to fly home, I'm already breaking down tape. I'll break down this Texas OU game, and I'll break down others because I already have insight into who we're going to have on our network the following week. And I've got the Tuesday show, Inside College Football, which I'll immediately go back to New York Monday evening and do that show Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night. So I'm already started. I'll get just a little few hours to decompress, but then I'm right back into it. And it never stops, but I love it. We've got a great gig. And so while at times your brain is taxing and you need to stop and chill out, it's still a wonderful profession, and it keeps me close to the game, and it's something I've always wanted to do.
The game is underway, OU-Texas Red River rivalry, so let's focus our attention on your Longhorns. What do they need to do well to play against Oklahoma?
Well, they can't bring that effort that they showcased in my hometown, L.A., Lubbock area. we always say that, Big E, it sounds more metropolitan when you say L.A. the energy that they have showcased in every other ball game, especially the Alabama game, they have to bring that. And as you know, you have to be told, to get fired up for this one. You shouldn't be out there. This one is so different, and you engaged in this contest, on the hardwood, so you know how intense it can be. You didn't wear any pads, so we get to hit each other and take our frustrations out on one another. But they just have to come out and play with that same intensity that they've had. Are they a well-oiled machine? No, especially not on defense. And on offense, you knew coming into the season with all the new faces on the offensive line, a lot of young ones, that it was going to be a growing process. So if they can limit the penetration of the OU defense, which didn't show a lot last week versus TCU in the last couple weeks. It's just been embarrassing how they've attempted to play defense. And the other thing is, whoever's playing quarterback, sync up with Xavier Worthy. He's been getting behind every secondary each week of the season, and they need to be more consistent hooking up with him. And Bijan Robinson, I'd love to see him not have to start dancing as soon as he gets the ball because there's leakage in the offensive line. If you could get him to the line of scrimmage, I'd take that and then allow him to do his work. If he's able to do that, having a big game in this one a season ago, they should do fine.
Brian Jones, CBS Sports, national college football analyst. And what is your assessment on how Texas has performed up to this point in the season? It seems like they do have the momentum coming into today's game.
Well, they got back on the good side of things with the performance versus West Virginia. I don't know what that was versus Texas Tech. They looked lost. They reverted to the defense, especially that we witnessed all season long, a historically bad one in 2021. So hopefully they understand that they set a standard in that Alabama game, even though they lost. They set a standard, and they now have to live up to that standard each and every week. That's the threshold you have to meet, at least meet that threshold, and you should be just fine. So you can't have these little lulls as they did in Lubbock. When you're a great football team, as Alabama is and some others, Georgia, throw them in there, Ohio State, you don't have to always bring your A game. But when you're not a great football team, you have to bring that A game each and every week. When you're great, you can win with your B game. No, Texas is not there yet. Oklahoma definitely is not there yet. And so both should not come. Texas, while they're favorite, and I picked them to win, because if they can't win against this defense, when will they ever beat Oklahoma, having lost four straight? But both, as you know, you throw out the records. It doesn't matter, because I played on teams that went into this contest unranked, and the Oklahoma was ranked, and we won both games. So it doesn't matter what you did prior to this weekend. All that matters is what you do today.
Well, and it's the first time since 98 that Texas and Oklahoma are meeting as unranked teams. Just a moment ago, Brian, you were talking about Texas's defense. What are your thoughts about legendary coach TCU Gary Patterson? He is on staff for Steve Sarkisian. Just his influence is defensively. What has he shown you?
I like it. Just talking to a couple of the defenders this summer prior to the season commencing, a lot of them shared with me that the way he described things really resonated with them. And sometimes if things aren't said right, they're not heard right. And some coaches just speak in a language that translates to you, where another one may not. And Coach Patterson had a ton of success at TCU. Of course, the wheels fell off there late. But he rebuilt that program.
Yeah.
He rebuilt TCU football. And he has an eye for talent. He did a great job evaluating talent. And you look at some of the guys who are playing elsewhere, like Zach Evans, the running back, now at Ole Miss. You know, he brought that guy into the fold there at TCU. And all the players that excelled last week versus your alma mater. We know he can coach and recruit. I have no insight into it as far as what transpired with him losing his gig there. But I just know this, what he's done and the way he's communicating with those defenders has worked, and I hope it continues.
Where do you think he will eventually land as a head coach? I mean, obviously there's openings, Colorado, Nebraska, Wisconsin. What does the future hold for Gary Patterson? I just wonder.
Great question. And, you know, Colorado would be a good one. Nebraska, having coached against him when they were in the Big 12.
Right.
And going to the Big 10. So I'm sure people are probably knocking on his door. I don't know why they wouldn't. You know, got TCU to a Rose Bowl. So he's taking on some Big Ten foes. You're correct. With his prowess, once again, you've got to dig into the crates. Maybe not the crates. You don't have to go that far back, but dig into the situation there and the way it ended and why he wasn't able to continue there as their head coach. And hopefully there was nothing nefarious. It's just, you know, his message, maybe it falling on deaf ears in that locker room. Who knows? I don't know. But the track record is a good one, and he won some big ball games there at TCU and had a winning record versus Texas.
You know, speaking of head coaches, give me a quick hit. I know our focus has been talking about Texas, but Oklahoma, they've got a brand new head coach in Brent Venables. Just your assessment of the job that he has done. Obviously, that was disappointing last week. We were talking about TCU, like what happened in Fort Worth. My goodness.
That was disappointing, and what happened versus Kansas State, Adrian Martinez. K-State did that to the former coach as well. This isn't Lincoln Riley went through it, so this isn't anything new. But Lincoln Riley went through it twice, lost to him twice. I'm not bringing it up to dig at you. I'm just saying that's the record. But with him being a defensive guy and his defense playing as poorly as they are, that's not a good look. So he definitely, and Coach Venables knows this, he definitely has to get them up to speed. And he may not right now have the type of guys he needs to win. That definitely looked as though that was the case these last two weekends. But he's got to get that fixed ASAP. Or, you know, it's not as though he's on the hot seat just yet. But you can't give up over 1,100 yards on defense in 2 weeks there not be some folks sitting there wondering, well, maybe he wasn't the right choice. We'll see. He's going to have time to shake it out. But again, if he can win this one today, which I hope he doesn't, he's right back in the good graces.
Texas, Oklahoma, it is underway. Of course, the Longhorns, we're just talking with Brian Jones from CBS Sports. They got it done last weekend in that much-needed win over West Virginia. So it appears that they do have the advantage and the momentum after that performance. My final question for you is, give us a final score, a final prediction. You're the ultimate prognosticator. Come on, Bri.
250 to 0.
You're killing me. Oh, my gosh.
We got to make up for the last 4 years.
Oh, man.
No. I think I could foresee being around, let's say, 35-21 Texas.
Well, Brian, you know it well. It is an emotional game, and throughout the record books, you said it. Anything can happen, and it's going to be fascinating to watch how it plays out this afternoon. Listen, we appreciate you stepping aside from your coverage, carving out time, and joining us on Sports Map Radio Network. Thank you, Brian. You're the best.
You got it. Appreciate you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back in Hour 1.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday, Sports Map Radio Network and the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, and you bet, our NFL news and notes, it will continue in our next segment. We're going to get you ready for the Raiders and the Chiefs Monday Night Football, everything you need to know. And you know what? Joining us for the very first time is Mr. Charles Goodman. He is the managing editor for At Chiefs Wire. Give him a follow on Twitter, and he provides newsletters for Kansas City Sports Network. Charles, good afternoon. It's great to have you on with us on this Saturday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, let's go to work. The countdown to kickoff is on. Looking forward to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs as they will step into the bright lights for this primetime game. Before we break down the matchup and what we can anticipate, let's have you weigh in on the Chiefs season and how it's played out. I mean, they're coming off that impressive win against Tampa Bay, and they really did dominate the Buccaneers.
Right. I mean, it's been a little bit of an adjustment. Obviously, the big storyline heading into this season was what will the Chiefs offense look like without Tyreek Hill? And I think we've kind of seen the ups and downs of that in the early goings of the season. You know, you see in week three that, you know, the offense kind of struggled a little bit against a team that we just saw on Thursday Night Football that you know, also had some struggles of their own against the Colts. And I just think, you know, you see this bounce back performance against the Buccaneers where they really kind of show that identity that they want to have this season, which is a team that can run the ball, team that can pass the ball, and really spread the ball around to a lot of different targets instead of kind of focusing on the big star players.
You know, the identity for the Chiefs has certainly been Patrick Mahomes. I mean, obviously his name's synonymous anytime you think of or talk about the Chiefs, but let's have you weigh in on defensively what they have shown you the first 4 weeks, because what they've got the strongest rushing defense in the NFL. That's a true statement, correct?
Yeah, I think it's really big, too, because, I mean, you consider this defense has kind of been without three of their starters for the majority of the season so far. You have Trent McDuffie, first-round draft pick, a guy they traded up for because they believed in him so much. He gets injured in the first game, plays about 30 snaps, which he's phenomenal in those 30 snaps, and then he goes to injured reserve. So he's been out the last three games. Then you have Willie Gay Jr., standout third-year linebacker, just an incredible athlete, one of their best coverage players, and he gets suspended for a couple games. So he's been out. And then you have Mike Dana, who's another third-year player who's been playing along the defensive line at both defensive end and defensive tackle. And he's someone who, I mean, he still has the third most pressures in the team, and he hasn't played the last 2 weeks. So he's someone who's been really good as well. So you're seeing that this team, they aren't just improved, but they're deeper than they have been in the past. And I think that's going to help them get through this season. And I mean, obviously the run defense, that is huge. The big question that this defense kind of had coming into the season was, hey, like, how can we produce more sacks and get more pressure on the quarterback? Because, you know, 2021, they were among the top teams in quarterback pressures, mm-hmm. but they really struggled to finish. They didn't finish well. And I think this year you're seeing them finish more. You're also seeing Steve Spagnuolo call those blitzes in key moments. I mean, we saw it last week with Legarius Sneed coming in, and he had a great sack on Tom Brady, a strip sack. right after the Chiefs had a turnover on downs. So just at key moments in the game, getting that pressure on the quarterback at the right time has really been huge for this defense.
He is the managing editor for the Chiefs Wire newsletters at Kansas City Sports Network. That is Charles Goodman joining us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. You know, we're talking about defensively. Just expound some more on why they have vastly improved in this particular area when actually what they've kind of struggled in the past, yes?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, an infusion of youth and also athleticism, I think that, you know, is really a big deal for this team. You know, you saw in 2019 when Steve Spagnuolo came in, first year as a defensive coordinator, they went out and signed, you know, a bunch of veteran players for that defense, got them in there, and you really saw over the next kind of three seasons that, you know, they weren't necessarily as fast, they weren't playing as fast as some of the younger guys around the league. And the Chiefs were really missing that athleticism in kind of the second level and the third level of their defense. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they've got it back quite a bit this year with this infusion of young talent. I mean, 10 draft picks, and majority of them, I mean, I think three were on offense and the rest were on defense. So they really got a lot of young guys, and you know, all of them are contributing in some way.
Well, what it tells me, too, is just this team continues to evolve, and they're becoming complete. They're not one-dimensional and just relying on offense. And so let's shift gears. Let's talk some offense. And Patrick Mahomes, your assessment of his season so far, I mean, obviously he looks like he's clicking on all cylinders. And in your mind, is he the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
Absolutely, without question. I feel spoiled getting to see him play. I mean, I lived through all these, you know, horrible years where we were just in quarterback purgatory in Kansas City, and now we get to watch Patrick Mahomes every week. It's just a thing of beauty, and it's almost ruined other football games for me. Like, it's hard to watch like some of these other NFL games because I'm like, I'm expecting someone to do Patrick Mahomes things, and they're not. So, he's been phenomenal, and I think this year, obviously, you know, he's coming with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. You know, people were saying a lot of things about him this offseason, that, you know, that he was going to struggle without Tyreek Hill. And I think he, you know, wanted to prove a little to himself, but also prove to those out there that, hey, like, I'm still this guy. Like, I can still do this. I can still make these amazing plays. And, you know, he's been training really hard all offseason, getting better, and I'm just really excited to see what he does this next couple of weeks. I mean, he's always really good in this first quarter of the season, but I want to see, you know, maybe can he extend that? Can he have some of that consistency throughout? And obviously there's a lot that goes into that, whether it's, you know, injuries or what have you, but I would like to see, you know, hey, let's have some of these September games that he's been having over his career. Let's see some of those in October and November too.
Charles Goodman, our very special guest at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show here in hour one. Of course, all eyes will be on Patrick Mahomes as he looks to continue his winning ways against the Raiders in Monday Night Football. So final question, Charles, how do you see this game playing out? And we got to keep it real for our listeners and our fans. Like, the Chiefs have won 8 of the last 9 meetings, so it's gone the Chiefs' way the past few years.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are probably they're probably better, or the best they've been, you know, during this time period. The record might not show it, but you know, Josh McDaniels, he's a coach who's brought a lot of discipline to this team. I mean, the Raiders were historically one of the league's most penalized teams, and I think they're low. They're like, I think fourth fewest penalties through these first 4 games. So, I mean, that's a big improvement for them. And, you know, it's only a matter of time before Devontae Adams, Derek Carr start getting that connection that they had in college going. You know, they've great contributing pieces there in Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Josh Jacobs. So I think that's going to pose a pretty big challenge for the Chiefs defense. And then, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to have to put up with those two fantastic edge rushers and Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. All that said, I mean, I think the Chiefs are coming out on top. They're playing at home, Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be electric. I mean, these two teams always go against each other. The Raiders and Chiefs have such a tremendous rivalry and history over the years. So, I expect it to be back and forth, but I think by the third quarter, you'll see the Chiefs pull away and that they'll have the depth to get this thing done.
Good stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Monday Night Football, the matchup with the Raiders and the Chiefs. He is the managing editor for At The Chiefs Wire. Give him a follow on Twitter and newsletters at Kansas City, KC Sports Network. And that is Charles Goodman. First time on the show. Great guest. And we look forward to another conversation talking about your Chiefs. Okay.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We will be right back after this quick break.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, we are back with you. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love to connect with you and all of our guests across the country. We've got a lot of new affiliates at eRadio Sports. We're always live on Twitter. If you happen to miss hour one or hour two, we make it so easy. You can go back and connect at podcastarena.com and download our app. Take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7. And it is a very big day in college football. We are so thrilled to have with us legendary radio host from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City, but actually he is in Dallas. He is stepping away from the big game, the Red River Shootout, and that is my dear friend James Hale. Hello, Jay.
E, how are you? I'm sure you're traveling to all the great golf courses out in the world today.
Absolutely.
Or sometime during this week.
Hey, living the dream. Love every minute of it. And you're always traveling to great venues for college football. And Oklahoma, Texas, always highly anticipated. You know, before we preview the matchup, I know the game's already underway, but I just wonder, how many years have you been covering it, and what do you look forward the most in this historic rivalry?
Well, it's been since 1975, wow. So just count the years. You know, and I've missed a couple. I haven't been to every one, but just a couple. I've been covering this event that long, and there's nothing like it. It's still unique getting into the state fair. I know there's a couple of other college football games that are close to this, the cocktail party and some others that are close. And I love Army Navy and how they do that. You know, but this is just so unique because of the state fair. You know, people sometimes plan a 4-day weekend. Sometimes it's a 5. You got casinos now in the area. And so people come down and, you know, visit those. And it's not like the old days. We go to 6th Street and raise heck and, you know, throw televisions out the windows and things like that. We don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm too old for that. I'm dodging televisions now. So, yeah, you know, not even going down to the areas where they are throwing those things or doing those things. But I think those days are done. You know, so, you know, you can go to the West End now. But, you know, people do plan every day. You know, they got a restaurant they want to go to or something. Then the game itself is spectacular with, you know, the Cotton Bowl. You know, split between, you know, right down the middle with Sooner fans and Horn fans. I know there's a lot of talk, and, you know, this may accelerate when they go to the SEC of having home and away. You know, I've had a couple of friends that went to a game recently in Austin. They talked about how awesome it was and how cool it would be to have the Sooners travel there one time and Texas to travel back, you know, to Norman. And, you know, but I hope they never change this. This is just so unique, and just nobody else has it. Nobody else does it.
Yeah, it's unique. It's special. And, you know, for the first time since 98, Texas and Oklahoma are meeting as unranked teams. So I just have to wonder, yeah. Jay, how do you view this game? Because Oklahoma is the underdog.
Yeah, you know, it's OU. Nobody saw that game coming against TCU.
Right.
You know, I can't explain it. I can tell they're shocked. The team was shocked. Brent's shocked. He knows what happened. He knows the defense didn't, you know, fill the gaps. Linebackers didn't fill the gaps. Safeties didn't tackle with their head up. Safeties panicked when the ball was in the air. In the secondary, Dylan Gabriel got hurt. You know, you had all these things that went down against TCU. So you know what happened. But to give up 55 points, to get beat 55-24, nobody saw that coming. Now, you know, nobody saw Texas losing to Texas Tech. Joey McGuire's doing a great job at Tech. You know, I don't think Joey is surprised or Tech or anything, you know. So, you know, it's just that it's, you know, so both teams come in. I mean, Texas actually comes in with more momentum. They beat West Virginia in their last game. They're starting. They've been Quinn Ewers, you know, and they just have a lot of things going. Where Oklahoma, you know, Brent's beginning to get the media chipping at him a little bit, questioning if he really believes in his program and what he's doing, and did he make a mistake trying to install a new defense and a new offense so quickly and things like that. And, you know, I felt for him a little bit this week. Now, the fans have still been really behind him at his radio show on Monday. He got a standing ovation when he walked into Rudy's, which is a barbecue joint.
Oh, yeah,
Mormon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he got a standing ovation. Now, that's an older crowd. They are going to be supportive, you know, but that was good to see. And I think for the most part, but social media has created a whole new animal for coaches today that they have to deal with. Not that Brent's on it. He's not. But it creates fanfare with all the local radio shows and things like that. And then, you know, the newspapers are beginning to write more questionable articles, you know, about, you know, what's going on in the program. And, you know, that's unfortunate because, you know, he's only been on the job five games. And I can tell you, you know, look, you know, it's half the roster's new, half the roster's never played in this game, half the roster had never put on a Sooner uniform before. You know, he lost two, you know, five-star, he didn't lose them, two five-star quarterbacks entered the transfer portal because of the coaching change. Two five-star receivers entered the transfer portal because of the coaching change. So I can go all through that with you and tell you the reasons why this could be happening to the team. But they have enough talent not to get beat 55-24. So that's disappointing. And you know, we'll see today if they can right the ship and, you know, if they can play a little defense. You know, that's the big deal. Brent Venables' defense should not be giving up 667 yards of total offense, 370 yards rushing offense, and 55 points to a TCU team. Now, TCU is not a bad team. They're better than people think. They've got good skill talent. They've got big receivers. Dugan is playing at a high level. How about all the veteran quarterbacks mm-hmm. playing well across the country?
Right.
And, you know, it's, you know, that's, you don't know if that's going to happen or not. It doesn't always happen, but it's happening. And, you know, TCU, you know, now TCU's put themselves in a position, you know, they can do great things in the conference if they just keep winning games.
You're listening to the familiar voice, James Hale, CBS Sports Radio Network, longtime reporter covering Oklahoma. Subscribe to Patreon Die Hard Sooner Reports and give James a follow on Twitter at JHale24. Certainly fans, we were all reeling a bit about how Oklahoma did play and fare against TCU. But I think legendary and beloved, you know, the former coach Bob Stoops said it best, you know, you got to be realistic about the situation at Oklahoma. So my question to you, Jay, is in your estimation, how long will it take for a successful rebuild? And obviously what I hear you saying is they're committed to getting better each and every week.
I don't think it's going to take him any time. I mean, I'm shocked they've lost this game. I'm shocked they've lost these two games. Brent isn't asking for any time mm-hmm. to win games.
Okay.
He's actually said that. He goes, I'm not on that plan. He goes, I'm not on a plan for a rebuild, or I'm not on a plan for this. So I really believe that's the case with him. You know, he's and you know, so I fully expect, you know, Oklahoma to start winning games and end up with a winning record and go to a bowl game. You know, I think anything else would be a major disappointment. So, you know, but, you know, the fact is that does remain how many guys they lost, how many new guys they had to bring in. You know, they had to, you know, basically recreate their quarterback room. You know, they've had to do some things that normal programs can't survive. And OU's only, you know, they've lost two games already, and they're in a tough game today against Texas. So you've got all these things that are working against. But if Brent Venables was on with you right now, he'd be telling you there's no timetable. It's to win today, win now. He fully expects to. And no matter what happens today, he is going to come back on Monday and say, hey, it's time to start winning. Get ready for Kansas. Let's go. He's not on any kind of time frame, and he doesn't look that way. You know, realistically, I can say it'll be next year when he gets another recruiting class in. You know, he has Jackson Arnold, the number one quarterback in the country, coming in. You know, you've got, you know, those kind of factors. And I think that, you know, you know, that's, those are all in play here. And so, you know, I think that's certainly things that he has to worry about and get into, you know?
Yeah. You know, leading up to today's game, obviously the quarterback situation for Oklahoma is dicey. And at this point of the season, after what happened to Dylan Gabriel, but I know that in your Patreon report earlier this week, you were just talking about how the Sooners are getting thinner and thinner at the linebacker position. And that certainly is an area of concern. And they didn't look very good against TCU.
Well, Shane Witter's out for the year, and Shane is probably their fastest linebacker. He is a backup linebacker, but he was beginning to come on a little bit. This is another defense for him to learn, and, you know, that hasn't always been easy for him, and he's had to deal with those things. So now you're down to a true freshman in Jaron Kanick as your main backup and a walk-on in McCoy as your main backup because Brent really wants to redshirt the freshman. Now, he can play those freshmen four games and still redshirt them, so you know, they're in the Cotton Bowl today, and they'll be ready if they need to play. You know, but that's just one position, you know, that they have to, you know, they have to deal with. You know, Billy Bowman's been their best safety. You know, he's banged up. Wanya Morris has been banged up, you know, in three out of the five games. He's your starting right tackle. So they have to deal with some things. They have enough talent, though, that they shouldn't be getting beat like they got beat at TCU. And they, you know, they should play well today against Texas. And, you know, they should be, you know, a team that every game they enter, they have a chance to win. They have enough talent. They should be able to do that.
CBS Sports Radio Network out of Oklahoma City. James Hale is with us at SportsMap Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. So we're always believing for the positive, and we are Sooners. So what would a Red River rivalry mean for first-year head coach Brent Venables?
Well, it would solidify a lot. Because the loss to TCU has cost him some cred, so to speak. Now everybody's questioning his methods and, you know, what he wants to do and his game plan and, you know, whether or not he's, you know, should he be trying to, is it too early? Is it too hard for him to put his defense in, which is silly, but he's actually been asked that, you know, and so, you know, he's getting these questions and some questions, you know, that are kind of off the wall. Like, just kind of looks at you like, you've got to be kidding me. You're asking me that, really? you know, so well, it's just, you know, you should see his look. You know, if he can walk the guy out, yeah, and say, you want to fight instead or something, you know, let's do that. Let's just go ahead. You know, so in that, yet Brent is a very, you know, wonderful guy, good Christian. I don't mean that, you know, but I mean, I just know the way he's looking at it. He's going, you mean, I shouldn't install my stuff? I should be using their stuff, or, you know, the previous coaching staff stuff, really? So, you know, if they win today against Texas, it would give them cred. You know, they would come in as an underdog, you know, banged up, you know, a quarterback that's, you know, they, it's everything that's going down with this team. And if they were able to win, if he was able to come up with a game plan that worked, you know, it would restore the game plan. OU at least needs to play great today and play well today. You know, I think that's been gone. You know, the bloom's off the rose, so to speak. The honeymoon's over. The new coach is in. And see, we know Brent so well. This is his first head coaching job, though. And, you know, but he's been picked on at USA Today already and things like that. So you beat Texas, you get your cred back. And all of a sudden people start going, oh, yeah, that's the Brent Venables. That's a really good football coach.
Okay, our Red River rivalry coverage will continue after this quick timeout.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're continuing the conversation talking Oklahoma, Texas with James Hale from CBS Sports Radio Network in Oklahoma City. You know, I have to wonder, James, I mean, it's his first year as a head coach. What is it like interacting with him? What's your relationship like with head coach Brent Venables?
It's been very similar to when he was an assistant, when he was the defensive coordinator. You know, Brent and I have known him for a long time. I consider him a friend. You know, I talk to him all the time when he was at Clemson.
Yeah.
So I have a really good relationship with him, and it's really not changed. Now, he's really busy, but he's always been busy. So he's one of those friends that, you know, I know you have friends just like this, that you call, and you know they're not going to call you back for 2 days.
Yeah.
Or they're 3 days, or it may be a week, or he's eventually going to get back to you. You know, and that's kind of the way it is. You know, he's busy. You know, so, you know, he's got things to do, and he evaluates, you know, but he will get back to you, and he will, you know, and he will call. And so that's the relationship. Now, you know, I'm a media member, and so, you know, I've got a media relationship with you, and he's very easy to deal with. You know, he's great in press conferences. He's Barry Switzer-esque, and that's the best compliment I can pay him. I think Barry is the greatest media coach ever. Bobby Bowden would be right there with him. But Florida State guys that covered Coach Bowden would tell you he was the best. He was the, you know, you could call him, he'd call you back. He'd answer the phone and call you back. You know, you know. So that's what Barry did, and that's what Brent does. And, you know, when we're around Brent, you know, he's great conferences. He will stay longer than needed. He will, you know, he grants individual interviews. He comes on radio shows. And, you know, now the one thing you got to get ready for, if you book him at 3:15, he's probably going to get on at 3:25.
Okay.
But when he does get on, it's going to be the greatest interview you have. And so it's been great so far. You just have to wait for it.
Yeah. Hey, we are wrapping up our time. CBS Sports Radio Network, James Hale with us this afternoon at Sports Map Radio Network. James, reach out, connect with our audience. Where can they find you and subscribe to Patreon?
All you got to do is Google James Hale, Die Hard, Sooner Report, and, you know, you got to pay a small token, become a patron, and, you know, and I'll give you 3 to 5 podcasts every single day. Keep them short so you can listen to them in your car or listen to them quickly and have them background noise. I'm trying to get E to be the face of the franchise, and so far I haven't convinced her to do that. You have to look at me instead to let you know. I'll convince you at some point, though, and so you'll have something prettier to look at.
Oh, hey, the Red River rivalry, it is underway in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. Going to be certainly fascinating to see how this plays out. I know it's kind of hard to pick OU, but give us a final prediction.
Well, it is hard to pick OU today, you know, and but I've seen a lot of weird games, and I've seen a lot of crazy things.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. I think I picked OU to win 31-30 somehow, some way.
Good stuff. Hey, James, enjoy the rest of the game, and we look forward to connecting again real soon. Thank you.
Thanks, Eve. Have a great day.
You bet. Safe travels. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network, the fastest 2 hours in radio's The Big E Sports Show. Come on back after this quick timeout.